to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
The light, if the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight, at arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
So today, hopefully very, very in few words, I want to begin a subject called What Makes for the Prosperity of a Person. Let's begin by maybe having a very short Bible study, then I'll attempt to explain some things. Right. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15:29 from the NIV, it reads, "Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them?" Let me explain what he's trying to say here, because the English is Englishing, right? So he's saying, you see, he's trying to teach baptism. He's saying in baptism, we are saying when Christ died, we died with him. That's how you are dipped into the water. And if you die, it means for you to die is Christ. You will die in Christ. And you coming up out of the water means you will not remain in the water forever. You'll be resurrected. You find that kind of discourse in Romans chapter 6. So he's trying to say, then why are we even baptized at all? Because in baptism we are saying we are one with Christ, either in life or in death. If we ever die, we'll die with Christ. And because of our oneness, because of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus, it means we'll be raised with him. So why do we do that if there's no resurrection? That's what he's saying. He says, if there's no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people even baptized? That's what he's trying to say. And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? Because he says, I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is why I want us to pay attention. It says, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus, with no more than mere human hopes, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? Then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we'll die. I'm putting him in the Zambian accent. Yes. He's trying to make a case for why he does what he does. He's trying to say, look, guys, I'm facing death every day. For all I care, I could have been doing my architecture job or being a Pharisee. But I'm facing death every day. And he's not talking about symbolic death. Like someone said after putting laughing emojis at dead. So that now you can say, I die daily. No, that's not the one he's talking about. He is literally talking about facing death. Let me give you an example. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians, whilst putting your finger on 1 Corinthians 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read it from the NLT. Verse 3. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with the comfort, with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted or comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in the comfort God gives us. Why is he talking about comfort so much? Then he explains. He says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. Now, in English, we thought we would die. He says, in fact, we expected to die. You know, I see people sick like you've got a headache. But even if it's bad, the migraine, you don't, in your mind, it doesn't occur to you that, oh my goodness, I'm just about to die. Some of you have been hungry for vomiting water, but... I remember when we moved to, I remember when we moved from Pika to Kasama. My father remained because there's something we needed to do, so he sent me and my wife, he was transferred there. And my mother was not working. And by then it was very difficult to send money. I'm talking about 2002-2000. So, we arrived and then we didn't know anyone and we didn't have food. I remember for the first time I was starved. You know, someone says, I'm starving, wait. Hold up. I couldn't believe it. I felt so hungry, and then I lost the hunger. Then I stood up to walk, then I felt like I didn't have the bones. Then I felt chinchingwa, dizziness. And then all I could do was just look. Then my mother went out into the bush and got blackjack leaves, right? Those things are nice. Now, those things are really nice if you are like eating them as an option. But I didn't know if they were nice because I was eating them because I had to eat. I had no option. But even then, I didn't feel like I would die. But that kind of hunger is the one in Bemba, they say, for vomiting water. The one I had. You, wait, okay, no, don't wait. It will never be a push. So when I see food, I'm so grateful. No matter how much I've grown. Because I have known hunger before. But even then, I never thought like, I'm expecting to. I just thought, oh my goodness. The point I make is, for him to reach a point where he says, we expected to die. Imagine how it was. How many have been so sick before that they've taken you to ICU? Maybe they removed you, or maybe it was so bad. But you never expected to die. You just thought like, this thing or so. How many? You've really had pain before, like, Diva Arizona, but you didn't expect that I'm just about to die. How many? One person. You've never been. Okay, no, that's good. That's good. That's good. Thank you. It's okay. Growing up, I used to be very sick. Extremely sick. I never expected to die, not once. Not because I was, you know, I was fairly brilliant, but I never expected. No, I would expect anything else, like they'll bring me food. Don't tell me when you are young, you never like being sick sometimes because there's attention you used to receive. How many ever felt like that? Like, this attention I'm receiving because I'm not feeling well. You're all villagers. Look at that. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would not live, we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. That's another level. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. Hallelujah. You will believe in resurrection because you've seen at Alpha. Look at that. We were crushed and beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. Amen. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. Hallelujah. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. Hallelujah. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. You see why he's saying that if I'm reaching certain places in my life where I am almost expecting to die, I'm risking my neck. For what if resurrection is not real? Why not just go drink and eat? Because in any case, I'll just die like a chicken and then be forgotten. He says, there's something that fuels us to face death daily and not be afraid of it, because there's something more precious than living. There's something more precious than wanting to hold on to your life, which is preaching the gospel, to the degree that even if he died, it's not a big thing to him because he's going to obtain a resurrection. Are you convinced there's such a thing as a resurrection? So that you could risk your neck. This mentality is what made the gospel reach Africa. Imagine there was no doom for the mosquitoes we had. You say, too much mosquitoes here. Too much mosquitoes. Can you buy odorless? If it's the last money you buy, at least you sleep peacefully today. Look at just how malaria deals with people these days. Have you ever seen malaria someone today? Now, so you find you've had malaria so much that your immune system has found a way around it. So even if you have malaria, they'll check you. You will not freak out. You say, I knew it. That's why I was feeling a fever. What? Do you know malaria? You now have fancy that. Back in the day, they had no fancy that when you have malaria, you are gone. Maybe black people would last, but white people, because it was the first time coming here, their immune system had not grown to recognize that kind of thing. But that's why they came to preach the gospel, knowing that there's malaria. That's how David Livingstone died. He died of malaria. The malaria today, you would have saved him from him. He died. Here, when you're doing, you could do prophylaxis. You get a medication that sort of gives you some kind of protection. So when I'm having friends coming from other countries, I get them a prophylaxis against malaria. So that when, at least in the 2 weeks they are going to be around, they will be protected. So they will preach, be happy, and go back home, nothing. But why would someone stick their neck to come into a thick forest, as it was called, because it was really thick. Some places even now, they are thick. It's okay, I can still talk like that, because in any case, I'm African, so there's no racism. He says, if the dead will not be raised, what point is there in people being baptized? And then he says in verse 30, and why should we risk our lives hour by hour? He says, I face death daily. This is as certain as my pride in what Christ Jesus our Lord has done for you. Then he says, and what value was there in fighting wild beasts? He says, if I fought wild beasts after the manner of men, of what value is it to me? In other words, it was not, first, let me, okay. I want us to visit, what happened to him in Ephesus, because he's saying, if I fought the wild beasts of Ephesus after the manner of men, what is my profit? Let me give you, before we go there, let me give you a short understanding of what he was talking about. When he says wild beasts there, the Greek word is therimakeo, and therimakeo is speaking of animals which were reared and developed for gladiatory purposes. You remember the movie, right? So there were particular beasts, animals, and sometimes what they would do is, just to entertain the crowd, they would put a stranger who knows nothing about the gladiatory games, who's not trained, and then they would throw them there, just so that the animals could maul that person. And the blood-thirsty Greeks would be happy. They love to see blood. I'm not talking about this, you know, chihuahuas you have. I'm talking about... proper wild beasts. The registered ones. Some of them are even extinct. The kind of lions we are talking about. The size... He says, if I fought the beasts, if I fought the Therimakeo of Ephesus like a normal human being. Now, I'm curious to find out, what were these beasts that he fought? Let's go to the book of Acts. We will see them. The book of Acts. Are you here? I was wondering why Paul literally had to write about this. Acts chapter 19. He was writing to the Corinthians, but he remembers Therimakeo. I want to see those animals. Are you ready to see them? Let's go. NKJV. Elebaros kolovraga dilegiba. Chapter 19. All right. Your title should say Paul at Ephesus. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. If your Bible has titles, it should say Paul at Ephesus. But if it's a Bible just, then it is well. The Bible reads, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. Finding some disciples, he says to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is even in this same a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in on him, who you would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So, like, Paul just goes to Ephesus, there's a revival, like, it's happening. Are you seeing that? But when you're happening, not everyone is smiling. As we will see. The Bible says in verse 8, and he went into the synagogues and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both the Jews and the Greeks. Are you seeing what was happening? All right. In other words, there was a revival happening here. Let's go to 21. In fact, let me give you from verse 19. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burnt them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. That's in Ephesus. Are you seeing? Like, it's just happening in Ephesus. Till one day, the demons were tired of pretending. Verse 21. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but himself stayed in Asia for some time. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way, that is the Christians. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana. Other versions will say Artemis. Now, this was an idol that the Ephesians used to worship. Now, if you know anyone who's named Diana, basically when people give people that name, they're saying, you know, the glory of a goddess. Yeah. But that name is a Greek is for a Greek deity. It's for a Greek deity. Okay? So when people name people those names, they mean well. But meaning well does not amount to righteousness. You can be honestly wrong. Very honest, but wrong. You can be sincere, but you're still offended. Sincerely offending. You know, people make mistakes and say, huh, I didn't know. So. And about that time there arose, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this thread of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Now, when they heard this sermon, this is a demonic priest. This is a sermon, brothers and sisters. This is not just an address. It's a teaching. Now, when they heard this sermon, they were full of wrath. Imagine, every sermon transfers something. I'm sure there are some sermons you've heard from me and you feel like you have grown. There are some sermons you hear and you feel like, wow, I'm so happy. There are some sermons you feel, every teaching transfers a kind of spirit. This one, also like any other sermon, transferred something. The Bible says when they finished, when they were done hearing this, they were filled with, not they, listen, it doesn't say they had wrath. It says they were full of wrath. And cried out saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Listen to this. So the whole city was filled with confusion. Now, these people hear a sermon. They also start their own demonic revival. They hear a sermon. That sermon fills them with fire, with wrath. And the next thing we hear is that the whole city is filled with confusion. How? They rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him, pleading that he would not venture into the theater. The guy was almost dead. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. Listen. And most of them did not even know why they came there. I want you to realize that there's something spiritual happening here. I remember when we were at Unza. One day, there was a viva. A riot. And but you know, people who are in fourth year, they don't like riots. I've never met a fourth year who enjoys riots. Because you know that they'll delay you. You just want to get out. It's to Matusa who like riots. Because for them, they're like, yes, finally we are at Unza. So there was this first year guy who was sitting just by the balcony. I was at Africa for them. I was just sitting by the balcony, watching these kids running up and down, picking stones, going to the roadside. And then there's this kid who used to stay next to us. He started running around, running. Hey! And we said to him, Fernando, is a con. We said to Fernando, Fernando, why are you rioting? Then he says, I don't know. I was with Apostle Fred. We said, no, 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 no. Why are you rioting? Do you know why this riot is happening? Eh? He shows this blank face. And I remembered. This is what happened in Ephesus. This is a move of a spirit. You think there's only a move of the spirit? Ever do this. When we were in third year, there were some first years who came. And there were kids that began a smoking movement. And these kids were not smoking weed. You know, weed, normally people, I don't know about these days, but people are smoking secretly. But when people are smoking pita and consulate, they do it publicly because it's acceptable. So we saw kids smoking. You, did you used to smoke where you came from? No. Why are you smoking? Huh? There was a move of the spirit. Let me just give you context. Among other things, Diana is a principality over Ephesus. And according to Greek mythology, this is a goddess, they call her, who is responsible for, among other things, hunting. Now, what normally would happen, or what predatory animals do, is when they go to hunt, especially when animals are a lot, they will cause confusion in one animal. And then there will be confusion everywhere. So the animals will be hitting each other, running helter-skelter. So this behavior is consistent with the principality called Diana. And how this principality called Diana manifested its glory was when it was worshipped. Great is the God. You see, there's a principle. Do you know why when you go to some Chinese restaurants, they burn incense? Or hotels, they burn incense. Remember what I was teaching at church? When the angel touched the sacrifice with the tip of his staff, a fire came and he ascended together with the fire. Because that is a sacrifice and it's sending a message to a divine being that you have been invited into these lives. And one of the sacrifices is praise. That's what the Bible says. God who dwells the praises of Israel. The Bible will teach you in Acts chapter 16 that Paul and Silas were in prison. But the Bible says at midnight, as they began to sing praises and hymns to God. Now, the whole time they were quiet and probably crying. Silas wondering why he joined Paul. As long as they were quiet, nothing happened. Isn't it interesting that the moment they began to sing praises to God, the Bible says then there was a foundation, an earthquake that shook the very foundations of the prison and the chains began to fall off. It's because the God that is worshipped is the one that begins to manifest. It's a principle in the spirit. So when they said, you know, when you're singing songs, you say, "Great are you, Lord." Even then they said, "Great is Diana, the God of Ephesus." Then immediately there was a manifestation of a hunting God going against the animals, and there was confusion. And then the Bible also says something. It says, the people were full of wrath. So you can imagine, you've punched me, why have you punched me? I don't know. Because remember, these are people who also, they don't know why they are there. So Paul is hidden. And everyone is in the theater. We want him, bring him out. Who do you want? Just bring him. If you don't bring him, what are you going to do? We don't know. They had wrath. They wanted to tear Paul apart. They wanted to rip him apart. They were going to tear him in pieces. And afterwards, they were going to say, "Hey, how did we do this?" You know, when the Spirit of God came upon Samson, The Bible says the Spirit of God came upon Samson. And he killed 1,000 trained Philistine soldiers. There was a spirit upon those people. If those people had put in their hands, even the two little ones were going to tear him limb by limb, the two small ones, because there is an inspiration in their fingers. Still taker. Have you ever read about Legion of Gadara? There was a gentleman from the garrisons, other versions say. The Bible says he used to cut himself and he loved tombs. He had this strange consecration. He loved lonely places in the tombs. Every spirit can give you a consecration. So, everyone is hanging out in the living room. You just want to be alone in the spare. You are not alone, mommy. You are hanging out. Okay. Now the Bible says they would tie Legion with chains and he would break them and run to have fellowship in the tombs. You know a tomb? Cemetery. But the point I make is he would tear the chains. Do you see why Paul, after he escaped this thing, he began to write the Ephesians? Because he learned that what was happening was not normal. These were not normal. He says, no. Let me show you what Paul ended up writing them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He ended up admitting, he says, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then he says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember, he's writing to the Ephesians. This is after he fought with the Theramachio. Now, these are wild beasts, but in small boys and girls and youths. But the wild beast is talking about there is stemming from the demon god Diana with the demons that influenced that crowd against Paul. He was now able to look back and say, It's to the Ephesians that he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. When Paul says, if I fought the Theramachio of Ephesus after the manner of men, he says, if I was fighting as a man, what hope is there for me? Why am I doing that? He's also trying to tell you that I did not survive there as a man. I did not fight after the manner of men. He did not fight after the manner of men. I can imagine when they were telling him not to come out, he was bending and loosing. He was tarrying in the waiting room. Because he knows that by his engaging Diana, it's a fight against Diana. Okay, let's change the name in case there's a Diana here. It's a fight against Artemis, that's the other name. But it doesn't matter. Don't worry, it's just a name. It's a wrestling. And the Bible doesn't say we fight against, it's a wrestling match. Have you ever seen a wrestling match? What happens with a wrestling match is sometimes they will throw you, you will throw your enemy, the enemy will get back. So you need to have stamina to do wrestling. Because sometimes they will hit you, you fall. You have to get up and hit back. Institutions like these have their own Dianas. And those Dianas determine the behavioral patterns of that institution. There are some behavioral patterns, when you begin to observe them, you can tell there's something abnormal. This is not just human beings. And sometimes you see people who used to behave themselves correctly where they came from. But they met Diana at Unza. Because every atmosphere you get into has its own warfare and has got its own governing spirit. I remember going to Chingola one day, and the moment I came out, everyone was just angry. That was 2012. Everyone was just upset. Oh, John, welcome, brother, I'm going to pick the zone. I mean, I know Kopala people are like, you know, but like, I was like, this is like next level. And I said, like, this is practical. It's practical dissatisfaction with life generally. And it was hot to add a cherry to the cake. Then immediately the Lord made me aware of the principality in the area where I was. It's a violent spirit. I began to sense the presence of that thing. Then I knew that if there was going to be trouble that's violent in Zambia, it would start from Chingola. And it was not long from then that gassing started from there. And what they started doing to fix the issue, they started forming groups. Oh, okay. They would hide in the night just to wait for someone to gas. If someone goes in to gas and they catch, they killed people in Chingola. So you never saw people being killed, suspected of gassing. It was invented in Chingola. That was where people, in dealing with the violence that gas has brought, they used violence. They catch you and they also caught people they just suspected. You know, there are innocent people who died. Because they said, what do you have? People were coming. Oh. People were coming with pesticide control. And if they find it behind your truck, you're a gasser. You meet Diana. You know, there are some people, the Dianas are in the house. Where you were born, there's a spirit. And that spirit, you know, Diana has his own description. He's a beast of Ephesus. You know, Paul is saying, he met a beast. He met beasts. That's what he's saying. Now imagine, you don't know that there's a beast. So you are living like a civilian in the presence of a beast. You are praying like a civilian when there's a beast in your house. That he's not talking about beasts for in the bush. He's talking about the Diana, who can influence an entire community to run after one person. They don't even know why they hate Paul. They just hate, what's his name? I don't know, I just hate him. And if they see him, they will rip him apart. A small baby will tear him, I repeat, limb by limb. Tear him. The baby would have supernatural empowerment to do it. Yes! When the beast comes upon a baby, What am I trying to communicate to you? That one important component of success is understanding spiritual warfare. Remember, I'm saying, I'm going to teach you things that make for success. I've seen intelligent people. I mean, there was this guy where we grew up. There was this guy who were playing the four of us. And we are all creatives. We love to write stories, you know. But he was the best among us. He was the best among us. But he came to the University of Zambia, learned philosophy, and lost his faith. He became an atheist. This guy, you don't know brilliant people. There's a devil when you look at him, you know that he's more intelligent than me. You know, there are people that you look at and you're like, ah, these are my customers. But there are people that when you look at, you even know in your chest that this one, I am to learn from him. I mean, have you ever met, are you honest enough to meet those people in your life? And even if you are dishonest, your conscience will tell you that. This dimension of IQ is not your level. I had a girl like that in our class at law school. No matter what you do, she'll beat you. It doesn't matter you studied like this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She'll just beat you the whole class. She got like maybe 18 points out of 20. To qualify into law school. Then the ones who were following were like, come on, 14 points. So we thought, Ali Shuka. Then every test, up to fourth year, Ziale, she was the best graduating student. We just said to her, you know what, live your life. There's nothing we can do. So we never asked her who was the highest. We asked who was the second highest. I had another friend of mine from grade 8, Davis. Firstly, he was handsome. Secondly, he was clean for a grade 8. Now, I won't tell you whether I was clean or not, just know. I could tell that this one is clean. That's important is that I'm your pastor. Thirdly, he had the best handwriting. So every time the lecturer, the teacher wants to give notes, you say, Davis, and even if we know each other because I don't want your handwriting to write for me. So even if we don't like Davis, we all say Davis. Then they have to give him notes, then he writes for us. Then he was made the timekeeper. He was also punctual with time. Then he was always number one. At grade 9, he beat the country. We knew there was a God among us. That's Davis. He's a medical doctor now. Then there are some of us, what we had was a destiny. So we were trying to work it out. Hey, mango type leader from. How come you feel encouraged? Oh, God. But this guy, the moment he stepped out of his faith, nothing he does works. All he has is English in his mouth, but nothing works. Because you see, the demons don't care. Diana don't care. She don't care. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. If there's no spiritual understanding, you just end up like your father, the one you hated. You will just be as abusive as him, as short-tempered as him. You will not be different because you had no understanding of the thing that made him. The reason why he hated you the most was because you were his favorite child. But he doesn't know why he doesn't like you. Even when he sleeps, he's like, why do I behave like this? But when he meets you, he will beat you. He will abandon you. So that you can continue with that kind of priesthood. When, you see, because to do, even in Satanism, to do certain things, if you are going up the ranks, I was telling someone who came to see me, and they were telling me about how they are being mistreated at home. The father hates them. The father hates them so much, like a stepfather, but that's a biological father. The father beats them like this and like that. And then they said, but I had this strange dream. And in this strange dream, we were in a shrine. Then a creature came to pick me among the many children. From then, I've just been called, you know. I said, no. So, you've been ordained. So there's a calling unto priesthood upon your life. Into the kingdom of darkness. So, in fact, then I said, one of the reasons why your father is treating you the way he's treating you is because there are certain assignments you can't execute if your heart has not been coded. Yes. So you have to be numb. No matter how much pain is afflicted upon you. Because if you are going to kill people in a bus, you need to have no feelings. Now, if you have feelings, you can't execute certain assignments. So you have to undergo a certain training that deprives you of the ability to recognize pain and address it. You become numb. You become a bottle, you bottle everything. So I began to show her the trainings she's been undergoing. And I began to show her very soon. You'll now be saying, how can we bring down Pastor Kyra? Oh no, God forbid. I said, no, don't say God forbid. Repent. Give your life to Christ and live by the fruit of the Spirit. No, Pastor, I can't do that. I said, but look, I showed her the scroll, the script. I said, this is how people are trained into this kind of priesthood. I began to take her through the course. Every calling has its training. My friend, when we went to Durban, a friend of mine began to show me what happens there in Durban. He began to show me, and he tells me of a story of a woman who was a sangoma. And one day she went naked into the ocean. And she never came out. Then after 1 year, her relative said, no, we want her back. So they went to another strong sangoma who said to them, these are the number of sacrifices you need to give for her to come out. And they prepared those sacrifices. And when they took them to the ocean, she came out dressed in the priesthood regalia. And she became one of the most powerful sangomas that side. After 1 year of consecration, so every priesthood has a training. In the village where I'm coming from, there was a witch that used to terrorize people, and people knew him. He would be in a house in a moment, and he would tell Naya, and the moment he steps out, they say, ah, Barbara Chani. They would go out, they would just see a hyena running. He would turn into a hyena. He terrorized the villagers there. He would kill them, eat them. And they knew him. And because they had no power, all they would say is, ah, your man would anadia. Then one day, a younger witch emerged and stood in public and commanded him to behave himself. Everyone was saying, you can't do that. You can't do that. In Bemba, we have a proverb. Chimbwipa kulila. Okay, let me explain it because it's a harsh saying. But it says, for a hyena to cry, then it's leaning somewhere. So for him to do what he was doing, he knew the powers he wielded. They tried to tell him to relax. He refused. The older witch stood up and said, you know me, why don't you behave yourself? And he just said, you see what happened to you. The younger witch only sent two ants on errand to visit him. When the insect ants reached, one beat him, another beat him. He just said, hey, Nafwa. That's how he died. He died. And there was joy in the entire city. And a new witch now emerged. It's a training. They've got a training they undergo. You know, we are coming from Africa. There are things that the family where I come from, my grandfather married my grandmother's older sister. When she died, my grandmother was inherited to him in marriage. So I've got cousins. It's confusing. It's a huge family. And I was told a story of how my grandfather was an idol worshiper. And my first grandmother was possessed. So she would manifest these demons. And when these demons are manifested, that's on my mother's side. When these evil spirits are manifested, then my grandfather knew exactly what to do. He would get on his knees and clap and worship them. Mwaiseni. And I would sit through my... I've never told you some of these things. So I don't know if I'm freaking you out. I want you to understand. Sometimes you don't know why God makes some of us to be the way we are. Because maybe we would have been priests elsewhere. And those evil spirits would demand, say, bring us in Pemba a white chicken. And this and that. And when they are appeased, then they would disappear. And sometimes they would manifest and tell my grandfather, do you remember the trap you set in the bush? Yes. The animal has been caught. Go and catch it. And my grandfather would leave the house, take some kilometers in the bush, and find that indeed an antelope was caught there. And he would be happy. And my cousin from my other grandmother's now told me, it's older. He says, you know, there was a time when my mother took me to the bush, to a certain tree, and a snake came out, and she spoke to the snake, and she did her rituals, and we came back home. And he says, but I don't understand how that snake never bit my mother up to today. I said, I'll tell you. In priesthood, there are encounters. But I'll get back. Then one day, the older brother to my initial cousin went to school in Kasama from Luingu and gave his life to Christ. And then he went back home. And then my first grandmother manifested demons. And before my grandfather would begin worshiping them, he says, sit down. Then he says, you who are in this woman, all of you get out. And there was a wrestling match. The man labored to deliver his mother. Labored. And then after some time, the evil spirits threw the woman and left, and she died. And the younger brother went to him and said, you've killed this woman. And then he goes to her and says, mommy, who came? And the woman got back to herself. On my father's side, my grandfather's No, you know, sometimes you don't know why we behave the way we behave. Because your grandfather was a medical doctor. So Vanzu Vevine Mianos. Okay. All right. I plan to talk only for 1 hour. But let me tell you, let me finish this off. On my father's side, my grandfather's first wife, my grandfather's second wife, ran mad and went to Malawi where she died. When my father was growing up, there is another woman whom my grandfather married. She was given to demons. And they would be made to go and watch her dance for spirits the whole night. They had to sit there to watch. You know, they do this dancing. They would dance the whole night. You beat drums for the evil spirits until they come down. So if a person is manifesting, they get drums and it's a ceremony. They beat the drums until the person comes down. And my grandfather moved from woman to woman. And my father used to laugh at people who would pray. When his younger sister gave his life to Christ, he went to watch her pray. And he almost took her out saying, why are you praying with these people who hit their heads against the wall? And all these forces of darkness on your father's side and on your mother's side, like this. You will pray. You will pray. When some of you just realize some of the things that you need to ask questions, where are we coming from? Or ask God, Lord, where am I coming from? Some of you, the only reason why you are facing the challenges you face is because the demons have seen the light of God on you. Watch the life of Jesus. At birth, they attacked him like a kingdom. One man. They killed entire children 2 years old and below for one man because he carried the authority and ambience of a king. So even the kind of warfare was attracting was beastly. Even as a baby. Look, you don't choose your warfare. Your destiny picks your fights. Moses was a pastor of 3 million people. So as a baby, the same thing that happened to Jesus happened to Moses. As a baby, he had not done anything wrong or right. But children 2 years and below were also killed. Moses had to be hidden in a basket. Your destiny will pick your battles. So if you don't match up, you'll be like a civilian who's coming to face Diana. You'll be facing Theramachio. Without training, These are forces that hate you before you were born. Before you knew how to say, beep, they want you dead. So to not understand the realm of the spirit is a big mistake, especially here around in this area in Africa, in the whole world. But the amount of engagement our forefathers engaged with evil spirits and shrine released so much wickedness.